Need some lice advice? Many people with school-aged children or grandchildren know about lice firsthand. How can we treat or even avoid getting these pesky parasites? Darlene Miller, president of the Greater Vancouver Lice Clinic, will join us over the phone to help us get our facts straight on lice.
Well, thanks, Michelle. I don't want to be nitpicking. Oh, that sounds so sad. Everybody was waiting for that. So Darlene is president of the Greater Vancouver Lice Society, or Lice Clinic, rather, and she's been working in BC communities, schools, and also attending private places, because not everybody wants to necessarily do this in public, and I think she's been doing it now for at least 8 years. Welcome to the program, Darlene.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Dawn. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty good. And when you and I spoke the other day, I thought this would make a great topic for the radio. We do deal with healthcare matters, and health has a rather broad spectrum. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight with you about head lice. And I certainly recall that with my young children, and I think probably many of our listeners do. They probably had an experience mostly with their children. And perhaps you can tell us a little bit, first of all, is this limited to children? Who gets head lice?
You know what? Actually, it's not limited to children. Anybody can get head lice.
Except
head lice
bald guys, right?
Yeah. Well, no. Well, except for bald guys. But even the smallest amount of hair an egg can be laid on. So, yeah, no, head lice don't discriminate. Young, old, it doesn't matter. Any head will do.
So some of the things that I remember about head lice is that they're seasonal, and I have a feeling the season is probably more associated with the onset of a whole bunch of children congregating at a school, and bang, we apparently have an infestation. But you're telling us this could be anybody, and therefore, does it mean any time of the year?
Exactly. It can be any of the time of the year. It just seems more prevalent at certain times of the year when we have especially our children out in the community, and then we bring them back into the school system. So basically, just bringing them back together encourages the chance, of head-to-head contact, so that increases the chance of transmission.
So I think the technical word is pediculosis capitis, and there's another one which we won't get into this show, that's as well. So these little critters, they're limited to around the top of my head, above my ears, and they crawl around in my skin and my hair. Like, how do I know I have them?
Well, actually, basically what they do is they live on your hair shaft, and that's where the female lays her eggs, is on your hair shaft as well. They only come down to the scalp to feed and basically do their business. A good analogy would be sort of like monkeys in the jungle. They're kind of, you know, swinging around on the hair shaft and hanging out there, basically.
So, all right. So how does somebody get, let's start with the simple question. How do I know I have them? Do I see them? Do I feel them? Do I itch?
Well,
do I get a fever? Like, what's going on?
Well, you know, important fact to know about head lice is it will naturally not go away on its own. So if you do have head lice, the infestation will only increase till the point where it's very obvious. Usually itchiness is associated with head lice, but not always. The main way you can tell if you have head lice is obviously finding or seeing live lice, or the other way is discovering their nits, which are cemented to the hair shaft, and they are there, and as the infestation increases, they are very obvious to see.
Darlene, let's invite some of the, any of our listeners. If you're listening to us on the internet, or even if you want to just send us an internet email question, the email address is radio, R-A-D-I-O, radio at bcchiro, that's bcchiro.com. So if you want to send us an email to the show, we'll take your emails and ask Darlene about the question you may have. So email, it's radio at bcchiro.com. In the Vancouver area, call us at 604-280-0650. And if you're listening out of town, it's a toll-free number. We're live. It's 1-877-280-0650. So give us a call if you have any questions about where these critters come from, how to get rid of them, and what to do about reinfections or anything. So, Darlene, what is the regular way to get rid of these things once you've identified them? So what do I do? Do I phone you? Do I go to a pharmacy? What do we do?
Well, there's basically two approaches to head lice removal. There's the pesticide-based approach and the all-natural approach. With the pesticide-based approach, basically you go to the pharmacist and they'll sell you a product with a pesticide base, and it's you bring it home, shampoo it in, and then 7 to 10 days later you reapply. The all-natural approach is called the wet combing method, and that is the approach that the lice clinic promotes. And basically what it is a method of breaking up the reproductive cycle, We go in and do a very thorough comb out every couple of days over a two-week period. No matter what, when it comes to head lice, there is not a one-time treatment or a quick fix. It is a process.
So is it, so but you said 2 weeks or?
Anywhere between 2 and 3 weeks it takes to properly clear up a head lice infestation. Even if you use a pesticide-based product, it only addresses about 90 to 95% of the live lice and has no effect on the eggs at all. You still have to get in there with a lice comb and do your nitpicking.
So you get rid of the adult ones that are alive, then you have to wait for the eggs to hatch and go attack them again.
Well, yes, that's if you're using a pesticide-based product. If you're using the wet combing method, basically you're going in and you're doing full manual removal. So, and the reason we go in every couple of days is because when the egg is first laid on the hair shaft, it's truly microscopic. But because it is attached to the hair shaft, in a few days it will plump up and develop. And then when you go in with your lice comb, you'll be able to address it and get them down off the hair shaft.
So if I miss the ones on the hair shaft, what am I looking for?
If you miss the...
And if they hatch and they get around my scalp, or if they come down, go down my hair, if I had any, and they go down to feed... Like, what am I looking for, little black dots or red dots or...
Well, actually, no. When a louse first comes out, it's translucent in color until it starts to feed. And then it actually gets blood in its gullet, and then we're looking for a little bit of a reddish, tannish color. As head lice mature, they get a little bit darker in color, and just when actually they're at the end of their life cycle, then they're quite a dark color. But it is a little precarious because they're going through a whole color range as they are developing, usually in the tannish color. So they're a little bit light and translucent to see.
So you mentioned you advise or you counsel on the wet combing method. Is that what you called it?
Exactly, yes.
All right. And you have a website, so I'll give that to the listeners right now. It's liceclinic.ca, WWW, of course. So liceclinic.ca. So on your website, I was looking at that. You've got a lot of this information on there that people can go to about wet comb and contacting you if they don't want to do that.
Yes, yeah. We have full services. If you don't want to do the nitpicking yourself, we can certainly help you out. We also strongly believe in the educational part of head lice. A lot of families struggle, and we really believe it's just that little lack of education, the little lack of understanding that it is a bit of a process. Once people understand how to go about it, they're much more successful, and you can definitely get rid of head lice without using pesticides in a very safe fashion.
Darlene, Michelle in the studio here. Just a question for you. I know a lot of parents, when they find out that their child has head lice, that they're freaking out, that they're, you know, not keeping their child clean enough. You know, is that true that, you know, lice only like dirty hair, or what's the scoop there?
You know what? Again, unfortunately, that's just a myth. It has nothing to do with cleanliness at all. It really is 90% of the time head-to-head contact. So you really need to be very close to somebody who has an active infestation. Head lice can survive in the environment for up to 48 hours. They dehydrate at a very fast rate, and they're not able to live in the environment. They have to be on the human host to survive.
So, Darlene, if we're successful in getting rid of them in a population, for example, why do they come back? Where are they hibernating, and what holiday did they take to come back?
You know what? They've always been kicking around. You know, unfortunately, there's still quite a bit of a negative stigma around head lice, so a lot of people aren't talking about it. At the Lice Clinic, we're really trying to normalize the subject. You know, in the big scheme of things, they're so much worse than head lice. So it is around. I think it's just that we're not vocalizing it. But, you know, it would be so much helpful if we did, because the important fact about head lice is the sooner you discover it, the easier it is to get rid of.
Now, does a family have to go and sterilize the house? Do they have to wash all the sheets, shampoo the carpets, destroy all the clothing? Like, I've heard people get all extreme and really agitated when this happens.
You know, that's usually the first response of most people. But again, you know, like I mentioned earlier, they can't live in the environment. So really, it's a very secondary. What you really need to do is focus on actually cleaning the head and getting the nits out of the hair. If you're concerned with your household, you know, and you want to spend some money, take the family away to Whistler for the weekend. When you come back, if there was anything live in your house, it will certainly be long dead by the time you get home.
So take a two-day holiday. Whatever's in the house will die, and shampoo real well.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the worst things that you've seen in your 9 years of experience?
Well, some of the worst things I've seen is something where we've had a few situations where we class it as multiple laying, where the person with the head lice infestation had had it for several months, and by the time we went in and were able to help them out, when we were finished combing them out, their hair actually was a different color.
Oh.
They had so many eggs on their hair shaft that it actually, their hair color appeared to be different. So that's a very extreme case. And we have seen some where, when there's really no more room for the female to lay, she will sort of work her way down. And we have experience where we've seen some eggs in people's eyelashes. Again, that's a very, very high extreme case.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, once we get off the hair on the head, we've got the eyebrows, then we've got the hair on the eyelids. And what happens if I have a mustache or a chin beard or a beard, a guy?
Well, you know what? In my 10 years of nitpicking, I've actually never seen anything go any lower than the eye level.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like that worst case scenario is probably one of those sort of crazy new things at midnight on how to grow hair in 2 weeks or something like that.
A little bit like that, yeah. Again, an extreme case.
So, are there any risks? Everything that eats also defecates. So, if someone's got a bunch of these nits and head lice running around for a while, is this where we start to see some of the sort of redness or sort of a mild infection?
Well, exactly. Actually, really, with head lice infestations, what causes the itchiness is the combination of the open sores, the bite marks on your scalp, and then, of course, the feces getting into the bite marks. And that's really what causes the great amount of itchiness when it comes to head lice.
Okay, well, I'm starting to squirm here, and if anybody's watching me on the internet, I'm doing really well, not moving too much here. So, Darlene, I want
to
thank you very much. Thanks a lot for coming on the program tonight, and let's give the listeners that email address, or sorry, the website is www.liceadvice, and that's advice with a C, liceadvice.ca.
Liceclinic.
Sorry.
Yeah,
liceclinic.ca. It would help if I gave the right web address, wouldn't it?
It's liceadvice@liceclinic.ca is the email address.
All right. So
exactly.
when the program is done each night, we put our topics on the podcast, because people can listen to the programs again at a later time, and we'll make sure we have the correct web address here so that people can go to your website and find out some of these self-tips you have for prevention and care.
Wonderful, wonderful. And we also have a hotline. You can phone us anytime, 778-984-5423, if you need any more lice advice.
Excellent. We'll put that in there, too. Thanks a lot, Darlene.
Thank you so much. Have a great evening.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.